Welcome, believers. This is Lucha Lowdown. I am your host and El Jefe of this podcast, James Kincaid. With me tonight, as always, El Guapo Jeff Budd.
You'll have to speak up, James. I'm sipping my ginger ale.
Is there a reference I'm supposed to get, or is that just truth?
No, I'm just having some ginger ale.
Yeah, it's good for the throat. It's good for a stomach ache, too. I hope you're feeling all right, Jeff.
Well, now that I'm having my ginger ale, yeah, I'm feeling good. Terrific.
Good. Apologies, dear listeners, for being absent for the past week plus for you. We have two episodes to review tonight because of a little bit of layoff. Things have been a little bit crazy in our lives. So we're going to give you, what do you call it, Jeff?
I believe I call it a dose of dose.
So, yes, you get two Lucha Underground episodes reviewed for you here by your friendly neighborhood podcasters that love talking about Lucha Underground. We are starting with the episode Havoc Running Wild. And this episode, just overall thoughts, Jeff, what'd you think?
Well, I liked getting more of the Havoc storyline against Madness. And then I was texting you when I was watching it. I know I watched it after you did. That I love that Masquerita Sangrada and Son of Havoc are still good friends, even though we haven't really seen the two of them interact for a while now.
Yeah, did you ever go back and watch that vignette where they were at Havoc's place?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a cute little vignette. A little Masquerita flipping off the TV.
Dude, Masquerita's adorable.
I agree with you, though.
And possibly a rabbit god.
It is possible. He could be the rabbit deity. I like you, though. I do agree that it's great when a wrestling program shows it has a long memory and that it just doesn't just throw things out the window just because, you know, we've moved on to a different storyline like it never happened. So that is one of the real strengths of Lucha Underground. So I agree with you there. And yeah, I too, like, this is a son of Havoc episode for sure. And a Son of Madness episode by extension, since they're feuding right now.
And have one without the other, two sides of the same coin.
And I will say that these, if we're going to do a dose of dose, as you say, these two episodes pair together very nicely in terms of just like they would sell these in a two pack at Kmart or something like that. So I feel like these two episodes pair well together. A couple similarities.
Like my Dean Malenko and Chris Jericho action figures.
Exactly. Or my Brian Christopher and Jerry Lawler action figures.
Well, I'm a big fan of the Man of 1,000 Holds, and they weren't going to sell them any other way.
Very true. All right, but we start off this episode with Dario Cueto talking to Matanza, and I don't know, I appreciated this because it's just like, hey, remember when we did that one thing where I told you, you know, maybe lay off eating the meat like a ravenous monster? Yeah, forget all that. You were right, bro. You're right all along. We just got to kill Rey Mysterio. He hurt me. I love Dario being like, he hurt me, Matanza. He hurt me.
Yeah, Dario's a big enough man to know when he's to be able to admit when he was wrong, and he did. Matanza was right this time.
He's a good brother.
I think if Dario's anything, he is a good brother.
I can't,
and a shrewd businessman.
I can't remember the last time that my older brother apologized to me and said that I was right about something. So
an older brother can never apologize,
but Dario did. That's why he's a good older brother.
This is a TV show.
That's why he's a good older brother. Unlike some people. You know, you should admit when you're wrong.
We both know your brother doesn't listen to this podcast. So
that's true. That's why I'm
falling on deaf ears.
That's why I'm calling him out for it. But I was talking about a different older brother that does listen, or at least he shows up for it. But anyway, I don't know. I found it humorous that it was just a complete reversal of the last time that we saw Matanza and Dario interacting that way. So he also announced here that that Matanza and Rey Mysterio are going to face off in 2 weeks. 2 weeks against one another, and by 2 weeks I mean, of course, this coming episode, because we are a little delayed in reviewing it. And then our first match of the evening was Son of Madness versus Masquerita, and you mentioned you like the sort of the long memory that Lucha Underground showed. Do you have any thoughts on this match? Because I mean it was 2 minutes. It was, you know, Masquerita got his usual stuff in, which was, you know, usually like the Son of Madness or whoever Masquerita is fighting not taking Masquerita serious enough, so then it becomes a real fight. If I can just interject my own thought before we kick it over to you.
Sure.
I think this would have worked better as another backstage vignette to get the point across, because the whole point of this was, you know, Son of Madness didn't like that Havoc gave Masquerita colors as well, and instead of having Son of Madness take on Masquerita in a match. I would have much rather have them accomplish this in some type of backstage brawl type thing. I don't know how you feel about that.
Oh, you know, that you raise a good point. I think from a TV show perspective, that would be the way to go. I think how you and I enjoy Lucha Underground, that would be the way to go. But as a wrestling promotion, I don't think it was so bad that they had it as a match, even though it was so short. I remember texting you about this. Even though I'm most certainly on Son of Havoc's side, I think Madness has a point. You can't go
Nomad.
Can't just
be green lighting new memberships.
And then, yeah, green light. It's like, did you even have the authority back when you were in the club, let alone now that you're no longer one of us? You can't just be handing out colors to randoms. And this guy most certainly doesn't belong to our biker club. So from that perspective, I totally get what Son of Madness was all about and angry for. But, well, yeah, I'm going to say overall I liked having it as a match as opposed to just another vignette scene. I think it's important for the live audience to get, you know, more of the story in front of them. And we got to remember it is a wrestling show. So yes, we should see most of the action in the ring unless it comes to something with special effects like some sort of Contrita confrontation.
My thinking on that with it being a vignette too is that it's what it led to was Dario Cueto. It would led to Son of Havoc coming out there again, and then Dario Cueto breaking it up and saying, "You two bikers like to fight so much," and he just dropped it great. The way he goes, "Boyle Heights biker brawl," was just excellent. Like, that's a thing that we should know what it is. He just combines what the people's gimmicks are and turns it into a street fight is kind of his MO a lot of times. But so that
transsexuality, you got to understand those references as soon as they make them.
That's what he does. So he did that. So I get why I had to work as a match from that standpoint. However, yeah, as a viewer, I'm thinking, I was like, well, you know, Son of Madness just wrestled a match. That's kind of unfair to him. He's at an inherent disadvantage here. You know, so.
You know, but I seem to remember that is exactly how Cage won his gauntlet, was two matches in a row, and he got his ass kicked in the first match that night.
But that was like set out that, like, didn't multiple people have to fight in multiple matches for that to happen?
No, it was that best of five between.
Oh, you're right. You're right. But it was the same two people, though.
Yeah, exactly. But it was like a beatdown. So one guy was still pretty fresh. The other guy was messed up. And then Dario was like, you know what? Why don't we just finish it tonight?
Yeah, in the spirit of competition, though, at least like both guys still technically went through a match.
I don't know. We've seen stuff like this before. And also, when it comes to Dario as a wrestling promoter, you can never feel too comfortable.
That is very
true.
Didn't
something similar happen to Son of Havoc where he thought he had won this tournament and then all of a sudden,
because he offered him another unique opportunity, and it was that he had to beat Dr. Wagner Jr.
And he did not.
And he did not.
I just wish it's like, well, do I have the option of not taking the opportunity and just getting what I was originally promised?
Nope. Not at
all. Why do you keep digging all these trenches in front of me?
Well, so that was what it became. It was going to be a Boyle Heights biker brawl in the main event. And then the next match we got was Marty the Moth taking on Arrhenius. And, you know, I got to say.
We talked about the Vegas odds, James.
Yeah, Arrhenius has not had a lot of luck in the temple. By a lot, I mean, I don't think he's had any luck in the temple.
He most certainly. Well, the only luck he's had is bad. Am I right, fellas?
Beep, beep, Jeffy. Beep, beep. But.
Yeah, the cricket sounds.
I'll edit those in post. But this,
I'll hit my microphone. Is this on?
I gotta say, this is as close as Arrhenius has probably ever come, right? This is probably Arrhenius' best showing, I'd say, in the temple.
I think maybe Arrhenius one time fainted and fell on top of somebody and got a two count. Yeah, this was the closest to him kicking ass.
Yeah, it's like as close to like near falls and stuff like that as we've
gotten.
That's
not a good showing for Marty.
No, seriously, and I thought about that too. But I mean, Marty does prevail, and during the course of the match, he was ripping Arrhenius's mask and he busted him open, and it was like actually like kind of a gruesome visual because Arrhenius's mask is white and it just became caked in his blood. But this led to Marty taking the mic and yelling at Melissa, saying that that's not the mask that he wants, though. He wants Phoenix mask. And, you know, and he was just being very, very special strength and very Marty the Moth about it. And then Phoenix showed up. hit the ring. And one of the things that stood out to me about this is that then Melissa gets in the ring and Melissa like sort of drops like all like the ring announcer type thing. And she's just like, she's just Melissa Santos. Like, oh yeah, Marty, you think you could take Phoenix's mask? I was like, I don't know. I was very amused by that. And then Phoenix, you know, accepts Marty's challenge. It's going to be his mask versus Marty's hair. At Ultima Lucha Tres, which not to be the...
I like both of those things.
Dude, I called it, but I do believe when Marty first started lusting after Phoenix's mask, we discussed on this very program that I was worried that it was going to lead to some type of mask versus hair match, and I certainly don't want to see Phoenix lose his mask.
No, Phoenix most certainly cannot lose his mask, so Marty's going to need to get a haircut.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I thought it was funny also with Melissa running her mouth because I was like, man, do women just get guys into trouble or what? Like Phoenix like, no, I just came out to confront Marty. I didn't.
Yeah, whoa.
I didn't want to put my mask on the
line. You know how much of a machismo culture this is, too? Now I have to accept. You idiot.
Screaming at her in the parking lot.
Yeah, exactly. It's like,
honeymoon's over.
You're walking home. All right. This Firebird's only seats one tonight. But yeah, so we're getting Mask versus Harold Ultima Lucha Trace. I pray to God, and I love Marty the Moth, but yeah, there's no way that Phoenix can lose his mask.
No, it's so iconic.
Yeah.
And
especially like in light of what may or may not happen with some Lucha Underground talent.
Exactly.
Phoenix has got to be the guy in a certain way, in my opinion. So
He's the guy.
And the next match in this first episode that we're reviewing tonight, Havoc Running Wild, we got Joey Ryan taking on Sexy Star. What was most notable to me about this match was that Taya, the cheerleader, was ringside with a faux Sexy Star sign, like cheering her on, distracting Sexy the whole match. What did you think of this whole thing and how it played out?
I kind of like Taya's interference the most in this match. I like obnoxious Taya. I like her getting in the face of Sexy Star. I also like the idea of that being a rivalry that is now kind of building up slowly. A nice slow burn from back in the Cueto Cup tournament.
Yeah, and really even before then, just during Sexy Star's title reign and everything, you know. So it's been building. You know, she cost Sexy really her title.
She has a bone to pick with every member of the Worldwide Underground.
But other than Mundo, probably Taya the most, because she literally cost her the strap.
I was going to say, I think they've confronted each other the most.
Yeah. So
I mean, aside from Mundo.
So, yeah, we got Taya. And I agree with you. In terms of all the distraction stuff, which I do think of late, Lucha Underground has been doing a little bit too much.
It's getting out of control.
Taya's has been the best. And even I like Stryker on commentary that he said that, man, Taya's given Brenda a run for her money in terms of her mouth. And just being annoying at ringside.
She was loud.
She was very loud. Well, and we've met Taya. We know she has some spunk and a mouth on her, so she can do it.
But yeah, that's what I like about Taya's interference is also that she doesn't get directly involved, because that's what I'm having a problem with, is nobody really seems to be winning matches on their own anymore.
Yeah.
You know, when the interference is coming into it, and it's really starting to drive me nuts, especially... A certain handsome sunglasses-wearing fellow.
Indeed. And speaking of another handsome sunglasses-wearing fellow, Joey Ryan got the win here because of Taya's distraction. So he beat Sexy Star.
I was happy to see Joey get the W.
Dude, I was too, and it's honestly...
It's nice to just see Joey in action.
It's nice to see Joey in action. It's nice to see Joey win. And also, in light of everything that's going on with Sexy Star, kind of hard to watch. You know, like, just knowing everything, like, that... You know, with her shooting on Rosemary and everything, and like,
agreed.
Yeah, and I mean, I hope Sexy comes out on the other side of that, and maybe this is all just a big work, but it's sounding like it's not. So, but maybe, I mean, we're all just marks. So if they work us, they work us. Great.
My name's Jeff.
No, we're both marks. Joey Ryan got the win over Sexy Star, which is one of the biggest upsets, I got to say, and probably in Lucha Underground history, because Joey Ryan is great, don't get me wrong, but his run of success in the ring in Lucha Underground is short. He doesn't have that many more wins than Arjenis.
I remember in one of his first matches, like he was holding his own against Cage at one point.
Yes, he was.
What happened?
You know, the dick flip got too popular, and that's just what they've reduced him to. But yeah, Joey Ryan with big win over Sexy Star. Cortez interferes. And
rightly so.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to say, this was a good episode for Cortez. I liked his interference on Joey after the match, but I really liked his interaction with Dario in the next vignette that we got after this match. What did you think of that? And just Dario twice in one night says, okay, so your gimmick is your bikers, so are you guys going to be in a Boyle Heights biker brawl? Then he's interacting with Cortez, and he's like, okay, so you and Joey are both cops, so next week you're going to have a 5-0 street fight. What did you think of Cortez and Dario?
Well, first, let me just say, nobody does gimmick matches like Lucha Underground.
Agreed.
I like all of them.
Yes.
So, and we'll talk about that match when we cover the next episode, and all I can say is Sublime.
Yes.
But as far as the vignette goes, it's so weird to see the two of them interacting with each other with kind of all the cards out on the table.
Yeah, it is. And it honestly was a big step up for Cortez, I thought. It was the first time that I thought he really shined, you know?
Because, I mean, his story is a cool story for his character. It's something that we definitely like.
Yes.
I just wish there was kind of more to it. And I'm glad that there was kind of a highlight on both he and Joey these past couple of weeks, because I think it was important to kind of put them back in the forefront again for a little bit.
It's salvaging it from what was just a terrible throwaway with Sexy Star versus Veneno, too, with Joey Ryan just ripping his mask off for no... I mean, that could have easily been accomplished in a backstage segment. And
oh, you trying to eliminate matches and put it all backstage.
I'm trying to eliminate needless matches.
You just don't want it to be a wrestling show
and
anymore.
Make more...
And listen, you're like, and you know what? We could do more special effects if we just added animated.
Listen, the suits of the network want what they want, you know? What can I say? But no, I thought this was a very
can
good...
Can you do less wrestling on the wrestling?
You know, it's like, you know, the wrestling part of it just leaves so many of us flat. Studies show wrestling works. But yeah, Dario's interacting.
Wrestling
again,
is a work.
Like you... Thank you. Like you said, the fact that they're all their cards on the table, and Dario's like, yeah, in fact, I know Joey's a cop too, and I know that you can't fake the fact that you like fighting, so we're going to have the 5-0 street fight, which is for an Aztec medallion. So that's exciting for the next episode that we're going to be talking about. Also, I liked in this vignette that Dario's go-to is to pick up his bull paperweight.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, you know, remember what happened to Mr. Cisco? So,
yeah, I do remember. You wanted to arrest him for it.
He did, yeah. It doesn't work that way. There's so much red tape, Cortez. Sorry. It's bigger things at play
here. I feel
here.
Bad for Cortez, man. He's just a good cop trying to arrest people for murder crimes. He doesn't want to do all this buildup for a case that ends up going nowhere.
Exactly. He sees the writing on the wall. That takes us to our main event, which is the Boyle Heights biker brawl between Son of Havoc and Son of Madness. And, like, Matt Stryker kind of calling out Dario, you know, he's so creative. He came up with this Boyle Heights biker brawl. What's next, a podcast or a review blog? And I was like, shots fired, Mr. Stryker. It's not very nice. People that
we'll
podcasts.
Stop being so complimentary.
Yeah, you've been a little off the last few weeks. just a little bit. But what did you think of this
Vampiro
match?
Vampiro carrying your ass.
Yeah, exactly. I thought this match was phenomenal. This was a terrific main event. Like you said, they do gimmick matches really well, and this was a lot of fun. What did you think of it?
The gimmick was great, and Havoc and Madness just complement each other really well. I mean, we've been fans of Son of Havoc now since, well, I mean, I guess episode one.
Yeah.
Is how long he's been around for. And, I mean, I kind of like this story. I like the idea of these two bikers that have you know, kind of this intense history just going at it against each other, because you get a lot of technical moves from them in the ring, especially Havoc. But at the same time, it's really ferocious and becomes, you know, very brawl like, especially once they're outside the ring. And I like that about it.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And you're right. I mean, they complement each other in the fact that the storyline is so good and they seem to work really well together in the ring. I love just some of the visuals from this, like. There was a moment when, I forget if it was Son of Madness or Son of Havoc, was literally using one of the believers' heads to get balance and then attack the other one. I thought that was just tremendous, like, little thing. I was like, there's this bald guy in the crowd, and literally one of their hands goes on top of him, and then they leap. It's like, good Lord.
That's why I don't want to sit anywhere near it.
Like, that wasn't even, they were out up in the crowd in the balcony.
I know,
stuff
I don't
like that.
Know. That's what I'm worried about. I don't know where I could sit in the temple.
That's what I think is the beauty of it, is that they can
There's
come
nowhere
anywhere.
To go.
It's like you go to Lucha involved. Underground and you have as much of a chance to get a foul ball as you do anywhere in the stadium. It's wonderful.
Well, I guess it's realistic, though. You're going to see some underground illegal street fighting.
Yeah, exactly.
Place is dangerous.
Exactly. And the other visual
going to Chinatown for the rabbit fights.
It's got something for everybody. The other thing that stood out to me is that when Son of Havoc jumped on Son of Madness's back outside the ring and literally leaving like shoe prints, like tire tread marks on his back, that was awesome.
The camera panning to that was excellent because I didn't see that coming. I was like, oh, man.
It's just really, really well done.
Right on there.
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed that. And then just the final moments of this match with, dude, Son of Madness going after him with a hammer was intense. And then the way that Son of Havoc came down on him, just smashed that bottle on his face before hitting with the shooting star to finish it. I thought that was all great. And the right guy won. I don't know if this ends the feud. We've talked about the fact that we'd like to see more fleshing out of, you know, why Son of Havoc left the biker club and everything, perhaps, you know, to chase Ivelisse and, you know, or rescue her or what have you. But that's something I'd like to see more of. I don't know if this ends, but Son of Havoc picks up a medallion. So his sort of role at Ultima Lucha Trace is set now. So I don't know what that means for Son of Madness and their storyline. But it doesn't feel like it's fully resolved, but I'm worried they might be moving on from it.
I feel that like they're kind of at this crossroads where if they want to, they can abandon the storyline, and I guess it really wouldn't be the end of the world. But at the same time, they always have the option to revisit it.
Yeah, that's true. And who's to say what they're going to do next season, or maybe at Ultima Lucha Trace, maybe Son of Madness gets involved again, or maybe, I don't know, we get some resolution there. We are coming up to Ultima Lucha Trace, by the way, and with no sign of Ivelisse, I wonder what that means for Katrina's match with Ivelisse, which we were supposed to get, which was teased all the way back in episode one of this season. So
well, that's what happens when you tease maybe a little too soon.
Exactly. I think we said that very thing. Or at least we talked about it. But that was the end of Havoc Running Wild, the first episode that we have to review here tonight on Lucha Lowdown. Before we get into
it's a privilege.
Absolutely right, and it's a privilege to talk to all you believers, and we so do enjoy all your interaction with us here at the podcast Lucha Lowdown. We love live tweeting the episodes with you. That's at Lucha Lowdown on Twitter, and we love the fact that you subscribe to us on iTunes, download all the episodes, and Audio Boom, and please share all those links, rate and review, share them with your friends. That's the best way to get the word out about Lucha Lowdown. If you want to email us, luchalowdown@gmail.com. But most importantly, Twitter and Facebook, you can find us at Lucha Lowdown. And yeah, thank you so much for doing that. And with that, on to the rest of the show and the second episode that we are privileged enough to review with you believers. Very well put, Jeff. Career opportunities. And we start out with Matt Stryker and Vampiro talking about how the 100th episode of Lucha Underground is next week.
Boy, you know, that just snuck up on us, didn't it?
It really did.
To estimate, I would not have thought that.
It really did. But it does feel kind of like breaking the fourth wall a little bit to call them episodes. I don't know. It was a little strange.
I'm all right with that.
Yeah,
I don't think that's such a deal.
It's fine. It was not a big deal. But we kick off the action with a medallion match, Drago taking on the Mac. And this kind of gets to the point of what we were talking about. They did a good job selling what Drago was going through and everything like that in terms of being under Cobra Moon's control and also selling the Max great story from this season. They did all this great buildup only for it to end in disappointing fashion way too quickly, which was a Cobra Moon odd distraction, by the way. She just got up on the apron and started like, I don't know if she just didn't have any lines thought out, but she didn't really have anything to say to the Mac to distract him. And then that's what led to Drago getting the win. What did you think about how this all went down?
She should have done like that dodgeball purple cobra's high five, just hit her legs and go.
Yeah, well, maybe.
just do snakes. The script said snake stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Just do snake things.
You're a snake. Do snake things up there.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's like, well, snakes aren't really loud, so it doesn't translate well on TV. Just do snake stuff.
Exactly. So, I mean,
if I was a writer for the show, that's why I'd be yelling at her backstage.
Yeah, exactly.
Clearly says snake stuff. Do snake stuff.
Flick your tongue, you know, serpentine around and stuff
and
like that.
You do the moving, You move like a snake.
Yeah, she did it so well in her first match.
Exactly. She actually has it down as far as how to act like a snake.
Absolutely. She has it really well down. But I hated another match, especially for a medallion, another medallion match. Just like, I don't know, ending this way.
Yeah, I get what you're saying. I ended up being happy at least with the result because I like the idea of the rabbits and the snakes constantly kind of coming across one another. And so, you know, they have medallions. They're going to see one another again.
Very true.
And that's what matters to me. And the rabbits, once again, will be outnumbering them. And that's also what matters to me. And then, like I said, Vampiro called them the Serpent Tribe. He didn't call them the Reptile.
Yes, Vampiro did call them the Serpent Tribe. And then right afterward, though, Matt Stryker called them the Reptile Tribe.
Well, you know what? One of them is dropping the ball lately, and the other one is doing just fine.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I was just disappointed because I think Drago and the Mac could have had a kick-ass match.
And they definitely could have.
And they didn't get a chance to do it.
Mac has had such a phenomenal second half of season three.
Yeah.
It is kind of unceremonious for him to be removed like that. Now I'm kind of wondering what are his options for Ultima Lucha Trace.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know what he's going to end up doing. What's Brian Cage going to end up doing in Ultima Lucha Trace?
I think he's going to kill somebody.
Yeah, I think he is too.
Yeah.
He probably is.
I think he's going to rip somebody apart. Or does Mil Mortez have a dancing partner yet?
Oh, maybe that's what it's going to be. Yeah, that's going to be what it's going to be. By the way, we are approaching Ultima Lucha Trace. Seen hide nor hair of King Cuerno, nor has he helped Phoenix or Aerostar find the reptile/serpent/snake tribe's lair to free Drago from Cobra Moon's spell. Where the hell is King Cuerno?
Maybe that's a season four story arc.
Damn it.
This isn't going to get resolved yet. Drago's going to stay heel.
I mean, that's actually kind of cool if they do keep him dead for a whole season just for putting over the death match and Mil Muertes even further. But I love King Cuerno. He's one of my favorite luchadors. He's so cool.
No, he most certainly is. Hey, he is. He's incredibly cool. And we've been talking him up quite a bit now for a while.
He was one of my luchadors to watch.
Which is kind of...
we can't even watch him if he's not there.
Oh, boy.
Egg on my face. Not even there. Although your Wunderkin isn't really there anymore either. I think he's just gone without even an explanation.
Yeah, the doctor did all that he needed to do.
Did he?
I assume. I don't know.
Famous B's only client. All right.
Not anymore.
So Drago gets his medallion. What was next up in this episode was Dario Cueto speaking to the audience, talking about the 100th episode of Lucha Underground, how freaking awesome he wants to make it. So he went ahead and announced the rundown for what next week's episode was. And what I was thinking about this is I actually really like, you know, getting teased a whole lineup of what's next in the episode in terms of matches. I wish they would do a little bit more of that. I know we get some here and there, but I kind of like the idea that he has a little bit more of a plan too. And, you know, when I tune in every week, I kind of know the lineup. I mean, you don't have to do it all the time, but I like that he was running it down, that there's going to be another Aztec medallion match, Dragon Azteca Jr. versus Pentagon Dark. Awesome. Let's go, Pentagon. Get that medallion, bro. Johnny Mundo and the Worldwide Underground will be taking on Prince Puma and some mystery partners in an Atomico's match. Who's going to be on Team Puma? I don't know, but apparently he's going to announce it later on in this episode. Or will he?
Hopefully he'll call up Jeff Budd.
Yeah,
though it's up against the Worldwide Underground.
So you would choose Puma over Mundo. We have you on record.
Nice. He's more of a face. He, you know me, I'm pretty traditional when it comes to that stuff. So Mundo's a big Rudo right now, so I have no choice but to root against him.
Man, I guess Ricky Mandel is the biggest Johnny Mundo fan. Wow.
Yeah, you know what? Once I lost out on that internship gig.
Never. Yeah, I guess so. Yeah.
You just lost yourself a customer.
He's really bitter. And then he also announced.
I threw the Mundo shirt in the trash and walked away. My head down like Peter Parker.
Mundo fan no more. Exactly. And they also.
Taking out of the trash in a couple weeks.
He also announced to the crowd that Matanza versus Rey Mysterio is going to happen. And then he demanded that Rey come out there and face off with him. And, what did you think about all that? He basically told Rey to leave the temple or else. Well, first Rey refused. Then he said, well, I'm going to fire Dragon Azteca if you don't leave. I really liked this whole interaction, first of all, I loved how Rey Mysterio looked. I like his sort of Lucha Underground themed outfit. I think that looks really awesome, and he should wear that more often. And I also liked Rey on the mic here. I wish Rey got more mic time in Lucha Underground. But what did you think about all this?
I kind of wish Rey would get more mic time too. But I like Rey in the vignettes, so I guess that's good enough. I like the idea of the rivalry that's been brewing now for a couple seasons between Rey and the Cueto family, and now he really has had it in with like both brothers.
Yeah.
And so it's going to come to a culmination. Dario, as far as asserting his power as boss, I have no problem with him doing it because that's what his character should be. I just kind of wish he'd be more consistent in it is the only thing. I just felt like he flopped so hard for Mundo a couple weeks ago that, I don't know, it's still kind of rubbing me the wrong way.
I agree. I completely agree because, again, it like I said at the time, it was like sort of a crossing of a Rubicon for Dario's character. And in getting involved, and again, like you said, flopping so hard for one performer. Like, it's fine if Dario does something purely for his own interests, but yeah. To just sort of, like, go, you know, supine for Mundo and everything that is Mundo is ridiculous. Like you pointed out on the episode was, like, no, dude, Dario's a really nefarious character. He's had people killed. If he got a threat like that, tell you what, Mr.
He killed a man.
Mr. Cook would churn up in a trash can decapitated. You know, it's just that's just Definitely. How it would go down.
And yeah, he'd lure him down to the place where he has Matanza.
Yeah, exactly. So
it's like talk out the deal. Yeah. And then he just wouldn't come back.
Yep, exactly. But I thought this was really great, Dario's segment here with Rey. And then all that, what we got to next was the 5-0 street fight for a medallion between Joey Ryan and Cortez Castro. And before we get into the match, Lucha Underground, hats off to you for this. Jeff, you shared this on my wall. Lucha Underground shared a photo. A Photoshop picture of Joey Ryan and Cortez supposed to be younger as cadets in the academy together. How awesome is that?
Dude, as soon as I saw the photo, I had to share it with you because I thought that was so awesome. I just like the idea of the backstory of, you know, that's back when they were just both a couple of idealistic rookies and how far Joey's fallen since then and how many compromises both of them have had to make. I mean, that's just part of the undercover game.
Joey, why'd you become a cop? I don't remember. That's just
Joey's like that episode of American Dad where Roger became a cop. It took him like 60 minutes to turn crooked.
To become a dirty cop. Dirty yeah, it's cop.
Like, it's a dirty cop. It's only been on the force for an hour.
But that is just such a nice touch by Lucha Underground to do that. And then I was incredibly just happy with, we come back from break and we see like police lights on the highway outside the temple, and then we come back in the temple, there's a police car, there's a police cruiser in the temple, there's the SWAT team with riot shields surrounding it, like it's like a police lumberjack match essentially.
Exactly.
This was already incredible from the start. I was already taken with it. What did you think of this match?
I am floored by the pageantry. I think what a great idea as far as just the flavor of what this match is supposed to be. Best match either one of them has been in Lucha Underground,
yes,
by far,
easily,
for me.
Easily.
Yeah, easily. And just everything about it was so great. They even referenced Lumberjacks later. It was when they were both outside of the ring and then were like completely surrounded by them.
Yeah.
With the shields pushing in. I liked how they used the environment around them. I liked Joey then throwing him into the cops, confiscating a shield here and there where he could, using the nightsticks against each other in the ring when they were slamming each other on the squad car.
Yeah.
All of it was so great. Even look, when they got the sledgehammer, oh, is it time to play the game?
Oh, I wrote that down too, buddy.
And you know what was great about it is because of the way Lucha Underground choreographs its matches, they used the sledgehammer appropriately. That's my problem with Triple H using it as a weapon. Is he always holds on to the head of it and is just like ramming it into somebody's stomach. I was like, that's kind of dumb.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you can't use it right, if you can't,
then don't use it.
Yeah, then it's just stupid. I agree.
Use a kendo stick or something like that, or just a chair.
Yeah.
Not to mention that Triple H was using water bottles that he was smashing into people's heads.
That is
not
true.
Not that long ago.
That is true.
Oh, look at all the water coming out of it. He clearly nailed that guy.
Yeah, dude, it's pain. You know, it hurts. You know, it stings, definitely.
That's certainly annoying.
I agree with you. The pageantry of this was on point. And also the brutality. This was, now, I don't think it was as good as the Weapons of Mass Destruction match, but it was certainly as themed, if not more. And
it's along that vein.
It is. It's certainly in that same stratosphere. I mean, Joey busting Cortez open at the top of his head with the handcuffs, by the way, which is just different in and of itself. That was brutal. I loved the police barricading Joey Ryan in. It's like, you're dirty cop and you're gonna get your ass whipped for this, buddy. Not only you're dirty cop, you ratted out one of your own. Like, you're done, bro.
Yeah.
So I loved all of that. I loved using the nightsticks like you did. The cop bottom on top of the police cruiser by Joey Ryan Cortez.
It made me wish that Big Boss Man was still around. And
seriously.
Was attached to Lucha Underground in some way. You know?
Yeah. Would have been great if
especially
they brought
with the nightstick twirling going on in the ring.
Seriously. They could have brought Honky Tonk Man for this too, since
he was prison guard.
In Lucha Underground canon. Yeah, he is in the
corrections.
Exactly. He could have been there. And I would have probably ended the match with like the taser usage as opposed to the mace and then into the riot shields. I think they should have put over the taser a little bit more. In terms of
taser is just a more effective weapon.
Yeah, absolutely. So I would have rather them do that. But I mean, they used it all. They used mace. They used the taser. They had donuts, which, I mean, I could have probably done without the donuts, but it did make for a funny sweet tooth music that Joey Ryan gave to Cortez. So this was such an enjoyable watch. And like you said, it was the best match these two guys have had in Lucha Underground. With Cortez pulling out the win, I mean, that's a huge win for him, too. This was a big, big spot, and I actually think this should have been the main event of the night. And I get that Matanza's the bigger, you know, name in Lucha Underground storyline-wise and everything like this, but this match was the spectacle to end the show on, in my opinion. This is what we should have rolled credits to here was this match. Just really job well done by both those guys. And hopefully big things for their storyline still to come, too, and how that's all going to play out also. Just thoroughly enjoyed that. That was terrific. What we got next was the Rabbit Tribe taking on Matanza in a handicap match. Jeff, go ahead. What did you think about this?
My favorite tribe is the Rabbit Tribe. I have decided. they are the best tribe on Lucha Underground. They do such a delightful job of portraying what it is that their temple or that their tribe represents, and I love how they work together. Is the fight choreography not consistent or what when it comes to the Rabbit Tribe as far as how they attack their opponents?
It is.
I'm in love
like
with
those
guys.
Mil Muertes.
Yeah. The sequence of the continuous drop kicks of the three of them when they had Matanza in the corner was just delightful, man.
Yeah.
And it's fun in a lot of ways, but at the same time, it doesn't... It doesn't sacrifice any of the action for it. It's not just some joke match.
Yeah.
You know, they really are his opponents, and they're trying to win. So, I mean, these last two matches were just so much fun to watch. This was a great episode because of it.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I do think that, again, the theming of the Rabbit Tribe is so well thought out and just so well executed. They commit to it, and they just go for it. And not everybody would do that, so kudos to them. For just really, you know, taking to it, like, you know, we're gonna be the Rabbit Tribe, and that's what we do. This is how we do things, and it makes total sense in the confines of the Lucha Underground universe. I have no problem with Matanza beating them either because he is such a monster. I don't think it really hurts the Rabbit Tribe as a unit to lose just to Matanza. I know, and usually you can't say that. Usually, when the larger force loses the handicap match, it's like, you know, kind of a setback, honestly. But I think in this instance...
But you have to remember Matanza's intro, where he basically decimated, the top seven performers
exactly.
in Lucha Underground. And they were not going against each other. They were basically all attacking him.
Yeah, exactly. And so I don't think that they lost anything with that. And they're heading to the Gift of the Gods match. So they'll be fine. And honestly, Matanza kind of needed the rebuild a little bit because it's been a minute. You know, and
he had been gone for a while, and the way he had been eliminated from action was, you know, pretty decisive. So, yeah, he did.
So I was fine with that. And so what we do close the show with is Prince Puma speaking to the Lucha Underground audience, talking about who is going to be, his Atomico's partners, or do we? Because Johnny Mundo interrupts him right off the bat.
Yeah.
So it would appear, because Johnny Mundo interrupts him right off the bat. And again, this is another instance of Lucha Underground showing its long memory, because Prince Puma references that he's beaten Mundo on more than one occasion. And Johnny Mundo, this is how it went down here, is that Johnny Mundo is trying to, you know, he seems pretty confident. So why don't you put your mask on the line? And so I have, this is my, literally my line of thinking here. Title versus mask, double question mark. Puma agrees, exclamation point. And then this is my literal thought process, like, two mask matches at Ultima Lucha, huh? That's kind of, you know, that's kind of weird. And then, like, as if right on cue, Dario Cueto makes the save and appears. And he says, you know, it's a great idea, Johnny, don't get me wrong, but we already have a mask match at Ultima Lucha Trace. I don't want people to think that, you know, Dario Cueto's run out of ideas. So he then comes up with title versus career at Ultima Lucha Trace, which Vampiro emphatically wants Puma to
say no
to. You already have the match. You don't really have to say yes to this.
That's what makes me so mad about this, man. Why do you keep digging trenches? I earned this. I went through an entire tournament.
Yeah, exactly. I don't have
to. I want my match.
Yeah, exactly. Why didn't you just say no? It's not like the worst Mundo could do is call you a coward. But maybe nobody calls Puma's him chicken. Nobody.
Well, Puma's going to have to grow out of that.
Prince Chicken. But yeah, so it's going to be title.
Doc Vampiro came back in time. He's like, you're going to lose your career.
No, Doc Wagner Jr. came back in time. That's where he's been. It's your career, Puma. It's your career.
Western Union going to give Puma?
Yeah. It's your career.
It's from the Doc.
He's alive.
He's wrestling in lucha matches.
In the 1800s. Get some wrestler named Mad Dog Ryan. Oh, that'd be great. But yeah, so Puma's putting his career on the line.
Stinks.
I'm really worried because all of the rumors have been circulating about Prince Puma leaving Lucha Underground and everything like that. And I had a thought today. It's like, hopefully that is all just a big-ass work and that Puma actually does win Ultima Lucha Trace and becomes the first ever two-time Lucha Underground champion. I don't know. What do you think about all this?
I'm worried that that's exactly what's going to happen as far as him losing and then having to leave the temple. And I'm not happy about it.
No, who would be?
Yeah, I mean, Puma's my guy. And you know what also is making me mad? Is not only the stipulations that were brought on this match that was unnecessary. I wanted to hear who his partners were going to be next.
So did I. So we're just gonna find out.
Just shut up for a second.
One's got to be Sexy Star, right?
Yeah. Who knows?
That's what I'm thinking. Honestly. I'm thinking Sexy Star. I'm thinking Rey Mysterio.
Wait, Rey has a match though.
Oh, he does. Rey has a match against Matanzi, right? Whoa.
And Azteca has a match.
So I guess it has to be Sexy Star, maybe the Mac, and.
And Puma's kind of on the outs with Rey and Azteca anyway.
Maybe Vampiro.
Dude, that would actually be kind of cool if it was Vampiro.
Yeah, that would be surprising for sure.
I don't know. We'll see. I also just wanted to say real fast, you know, watching all the way back from season one and how it was now, I was proud of Puma and how well he did on the mic, I thought.
Yeah, totally. And I think they just need to let him talk more.
Yeah, I think so, too. I thought he was doing a fine job.
Yeah, he totally was. And again, I don't want to see Puma leave. Puma's been the standard bearer for Lucha Underground, you know, and like, Everybody, and I'm guilty of this too. I'm drawn to Pentagon. He's my favorite luchador along with Mil Muertes. I am drawn to him. But, you know, and a lot of Dragon Ball Z fans are drawn to Vegeta. But you need your Goku. You just have to have him. And that's who Prince Puma has been. And, you know, he's been the sort of the backbone of the temple and everything that Lucha Underground has been. Up to this point, so it just made me really sad.
You also need your Arjenis Yamchas.
I don't know if you really need them. I don't know about that. Listen,
you
I'm pulling for
fight first.
Listen, I'm pulling for Arjenis. Don't get me wrong. I pull, you know, like, I'm hoping
and you
that
need
guy
to have your Masquerita Chiatsus.
Yeah, that's very, very apt. But you know, I'm pulling for those guys. But yeah, we'll see what happens. So I thought this was a very, very good episode of Lucha Underground. And I'm super excited for the 100th episode next week. We will be back on track, believers. Thank you for hanging in there with us. With that is going to do it for us tonight at Lucha Lowdown. or Jeff Budd. I'm James Kincaid. Good night, everybody.